Please do be seated. And I pray that I'd speak in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. So today is the day when we sort of bring to an end the phase of the mission project where we've been collecting in the envelopes. I have to say that already there's been a really tremendous response, which we really thank you for. Between the partnership, the total already is around £3,500, which is just absolutely astonishing. And there's still some envelopes to come as well. And as a special treat, if you haven't taken an envelope and you would still like to, you can get your checks in. So again, I know that some people have been away for a week or two. So if you haven't got your envelopes in, then please do get them back, and as I said, you take one, and then you'll see in partnership news, which Charlie has just very subtly passed to me. the note on the Kempston Musical Society, the concert on Monday the 14th of December here at St Mark's at 7:30. Tickets are a paltry £7. The proceeds from that will go to the King's Arms project. So do come along and attend that if you can on the 14th. But thank you so far for all of your giving. It truly is appreciated. And you know from the King's Arms project, from what Ali said, just how much difference that amount of money will make to them. So thank you for that. We'll give you a total as we have it. Either next week or the week after, depending on when we can get it all added up. But so far, £3,500 across this partnership is truly tremendous. So thank you for that. Malachi. What a strange reading in some ways. We've got a messenger who's going to be a messenger of the covenant. And it could be quite confusing. Because then we hear about messengers in the Gospel of Luke in chapter 3. Malachi is an interesting book of the Old Testament. It's the latest or the youngest book of the Old Testament that we probably have. It's probably written around 450 BC, so that kind of period. And the Jews have gone back into Israel, back into Jerusalem. But things are pretty tough. They've rebuilt the temple under Nehemiah, as you remember, and you know, encouraged by Haggai and Zechariah, because I know you're familiar with all of the minor prophets. But they've rebuilt the temple, and that was about 75, 80 years ago. But the prosperity that everybody was expecting, and kind of the brouhaha with which they went back into Jerusalem and rebuilt the temple, nothing's really happened. And there's disillusionment on behalf of the Israelites. And the piece in Malachi that we have, Malachi is addressing some of the concerns of the people. And they've got very sloppy in their religious practices. And they're trying to say, well, you know, is God really around? And does it really matter if we offer sacrifices with, you know, sheep that have only got three legs, or, you know, doves that have got a wing broken off? Does it really matter? They were getting really, really sloppy. And Malachi comes and encourages them and talks to them and really addresses them quite sternly and says, God is God. He will come to judge. He will come in the future. And although it appears now that the rich are getting richer, the poor are getting poorer, you know, the economic bubble has burst, and you know, the interest rates have, you know, gone through the roof, and the banks have gone bankrupt, God will come, says Malachi. He doesn't quite say all of that. That's my sort of added version, you know, reading between the lines, the gloss, as they would say. But he says God will come in the future and will turn things around. And then 400 years later, we have John the Baptist. John the messenger, who announces the messenger of the covenant, who is Christ. 400 years later, the words of Malachi become a reality. But thank you for passing me this. Because rather than just the sometime in the future, Luke is really, really clear about what the time is. He doesn't want people to be under any misapprehension, any misunderstanding that the Messiah has now come. And so the first half of today's gospel reading is all about making sure that the readers are really, really clear about the time when the Messiah comes. It's in the 15th year of the reign of Tiberius Caesar. By the way, did I tell you that was when Pontius Pilate was governor of Judea? By the way, did I tell you that was when Herod was tetrarch of Galilee? By the way, did I tell you that was when Philip was tetrarch of Iturea and Trachonius? So on and so forth. Luke is really, really clear about this is the time that the Messiah has come. When Solomon built the temple, we know that the glory of the Lord filled the temple. That's what the Bible tells us. And we know that when the temple was destroyed by the Babylonians, that glory disappeared. That glory left the temple. And we also know that that glory did not reappear when the temple was rebuilt. And part of what John is saying, part of what Jesus' ministry is about, is the glory comes back to the temple. And there are some people who interpret Jesus entering the temple, cleansing the temple, overturning the tables of the money changers, as the very time when the glory of the Lord reappeared in the temple. And that may well be so. But that brings to the end, if you like, the prophecy that Malachi had talked about 400 years ago, brought to fruition in the messenger, who is John the Baptist, and fulfilled in the person who Malachi calls the messenger of the covenant, who is Jesus. And one of the things that Malachi was talking to the Israelites about was what they had done is they had begun to shape God to how they wanted God to be. They'd begun to get a picture of God which fitted what they wanted. They'd begun to put God into a place that was convenient for them. And you can imagine, and we've all heard people say this, you can imagine some of the Israelites saying at the time, when I meet God, I've got a few questions for him. Or, you know, when I meet God, there's one or two things I'm going to say to him. And Malachi gently, reasonably gently, points out, actually, it's not what they or we are going to say to God. It's what God is going to say to us as he comes and he purifies, as he says in Malachi, and as he judges. And if you think of part of what we do in our society today, and especially at Christmas, we too, in some ways, are guilty in the same way as the Israelites were, in that we shape God into the shape that we want him to be. Certainly at Christmas, if you think of the commercial side of Christmas, the commercial side of Christmas really wants to shrink the God piece more and more. Pay very casual regard to the fact that Christmas is not about Christmas trees and presents and shopping and food. Christmas itself is about God himself coming incarnate and living in us and among us. The phrase we use at the Advent course is reconciling the temporal world, the world that we live in, with the spiritual world, joining together and reconciling humanity with God. That's what Christmas is about. And if you think of how we sometimes look at Christmas, we shape God into what we want him to be. And that's often quite small. And in the same way, just as the Israelites had tried to push God into a corner, tried to shape him into something that was more convenient for them, so we, as we wait for Christ's second coming, If we're not careful, we do the same. And God's message to the Israelites and God's message to ourselves is God is bigger than that. He is bigger than that. We need to let God be God in our lives. We need to see God as he is and not as we would just wish him to be. We need to see God in all his inconvenience at Christmas, as the Israelites needed to see him in all his inconvenience, so that he isn't somebody who is just convenient for us, somebody who is a convenient reason for a couple of weeks off over Christmas and an opportunity to have some nice food and presents. But we need to see God and realize God and know God as the person who came incarnate in his son Jesus, whose glory now fills the earth, not just the temple, as we acknowledge him as God's Son, Emmanuel, God with us. Amen.